Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. You already know this is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we pray today that those of you that are listening as WMAF streams by computer anywhere in the world, connected to the World Wide Web, we welcome you. If you've downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today. And we just want to, on the onset, give a praise report for this radio station and what it means to our ministry. And there are other ministries right there in Madison, North Florida, that have the vision and to utilize radio as an outreach. We are connected to the World Wide Web by our website that has been up for many years, and we have had recent activity on our website coming from places like, particularly places like Brazil and South America and the United Kingdom, London, England in particular, several hits from that area last week, and from other areas around the globe. And we feel like that WMAF streaming on computer is giving us a window to the world, to reach out through actually a doorway to the world, not only a window to see the needs of the world to hear the gospel, but an actual doorway to walk through and take the gospel to places we could never, ever, ever go personally. If we began right now to try to travel to all the places that have come to our website, time wouldn't allow us before we get called home or Christ comes to go to those places. If we had the wherewithal to do it, and we couldn't do it, but through radio and through media, we are able to reach out to those peoples, those nations, and fellow Christians around the world. So today, if you are listening by computer, we especially want to welcome you today. Amen. And if you have downloaded from our website this teaching, we welcome you today. Praise God. Other fine ministries here that use the Bible, the Word of God, for this, the basis for their teaching and preaching, right there in Madison and North Florida. Amen. So we're just glad to be part of the broadcast family. Family-friendly radio. Glad to promote and affiliate with a station that you don't have to turn the volume down when your kids come in the room. Amen. Something that will edify. Something that is uplifting and entertaining, but also inspirational. Praise God. Well, having said that, we want to go to the Word of God together today. By the way, if you're not a Christian, would you please stay tuned today? We want you to know not only what God can do, but what He wills to do in your life and mine if we will give Him the permission to do it. Praise God. Amen. So please stay tuned today. We have a brand new subject this week, the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. It's taken from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah in the Old Covenant, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. And what we're going to glean in just a few moments from this teaching is pardon for the past. How many people listening have a past? I've lived long enough to have a past, and I'm so glad when I came to Christ, there is pardon for the past. But not only is there pardon for the past, there's peace for the present. Listen, folks, I can tell you straight up, there is absolutely no sin and no circumstance in this world that can take the place of peace in your mind and your heart. Oh, praise God for the peace. When you get peace with God through His pardon of your sins and His forgiveness, amen, you can have the peace of God reigning in your heart and in your life. And not only do we have pardon for the past and peace for the present, we have promise for the future. We have hope. The scripture is very clear. We are not like others who have no hope. We're not without God, as the scripture declares, and without hope in this present world. We have a promised future, and the future is so very bright. Amen. So if you have your Bibles and you're ready for this study, pardon for the past, peace for the present, and promise for the future, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, as we discuss this topic from the Scripture, the potter and the clay. The potter and the clay. Amen. While you're turning, if you would like to come to our website, please type in THCOG and Google it. It will take you to the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been the senior pastor for going on our 41st year. We're well into our 41st year of ministry at this church here in Tampa, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International, in good standing since 1974. Praise God. Amen. In fact, I'm getting ready real soon to celebrate our 51st wedding anniversary. So God has just been gracious to my wife and I, and He's blessed our ministry to be sustained through the storms that come to every minister and every ministry and every marriage as well. God has been our absolute shield, buckler, rock, hiding place, helper, and all the other titles that are given Him. We have experienced it and are experiencing it in our daily life. Jeremiah chapter 18, on the potter and the clay, verses 1 through 6. Listen, the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to make it, or as it pleased him. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay, as in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you. As that covenant nation, those covenant people, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." We see several important principles in these verses of Scripture that specifically address Israel as a nation, but that also have to do with our personal lives as Christians. First, let us consider the potter. And he is the master. Amen. He is number one, the master, and then the material, and then the model. Listen carefully. The potter. God identifies himself as the potter. He is the creator. He has the plan. He has a purpose in what he's doing before he ever touches the clay. The potter has this plan, this design, this grand design in his heart for the clay. He is not just a creator, he is creative. Hallelujah. He alone has the knowledge, the wisdom, the ability, and the power to create. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. It says, "To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by numbers? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, so that he is strong in power. Not one faileth." Praise God. Hallelujah. He's talking about the universe. You know, the Bible said in Psalm 19 that the firmament declares his handiwork. The firmament declares his handiwork. The work of one's own hands, shows his ability and his creativity. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Through faith we understand God created the universe. He created the firmament. And this not one faileth phrase in the Amplified, it says He is strong in power so that not one is missing or lacks anything. So there's a strong implication that this portion of Scripture is not about His creativity in the universe and His sustaining power in the universe, but His creative work within His covenant people and His sustaining power to us. Hallelujah. Because it is implying a shepherd leads his sheep out. When he brings them back in, none are missing and none are lacking. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. What a great and gracious God that we serve. I believe we need a revelation of the magnitude of power and might that is at this moment keeping us and working within us to accomplish God's purposes. The power that created the universe and that keeps it in perfect order is no less than the power that is active in every Christian who will truly yield to the Spirit of God. Think of it. This Creator and creative God, with such intense love and immense power, desires to work a work in your life and in mine. You know, the Bible literally says, and amen, and I'm going to read that from Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. One translation says, it's actually a paraphrase, the heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of His handiwork. Handiwork, amen, just defined by our dictionary, says work done by hand, the product of one's own personal effort. You see, when God works in creation of the universe, it is up close and personal. And when God works in your life and mine, it is up close and it is personal. In fact, the Scriptures say it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When God, the Creator of heaven and earth, begins to create, amen, within our lives that pleases Him. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, you know, I'm not really living the Christian life through human effort. Amen. He said, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive, and yet it's no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. So somebody said one time, you know, that I can't live the Christian life. I've heard it over and over again. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go to church and play a role. And I commend anyone for that kind of honesty. But don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that God expects you or me within our own human agency, within our own strength or ability, to carry out His will and to become what He desires us to be. This is wrought by the same Spirit of God that moved and brooded over the universe when God spoke and said, let there be a firmament. And there was a firmament. Oh, the power of this great and mighty God, and oh, the love that caused Him to give His Son for us and caused Him to want to come not only to be with us in this fallen world and in these faulty bodies, but to come and live and make His abode within us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. This is the intense desire of the Holy Spirit, that our lives become so affected by God's power and purpose and presence that we, as His highest order of creation, declare His glory and become a marvelous display of His handiwork. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 said, "But ye are," as Christians, if you're a Christian today, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him, hallelujah, that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Amplified New Testament said that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him. Friend of mine, we as Christians are the product of God's grace displayed so that the world may see in our lives the goodness of our God, the greatness of our God, the glory of our God. Amen. And that we might be a witness that will cause others will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, His handiwork," literally, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You know, you're not saved by works, but when you get saved, there are confirming, corresponding works. Amen. Again, I'm going to read another translation that said, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It is so powerful to know that God, when He comes to live within you, He begins to live through us what His will and purpose is. He is the potter, and we are the clay in His hands. That is the lesson of the potter's house. Praise God. Amen. God can make you anything you want to be and anything He desires you to be. But you and I must put everything in His hands. He is the potter, and it's His hands that are working in our life. As I said, many people stay away from God because they say, "I can't live the Christian life. I can't change myself. I can't undo what I've done, and I can't do what He requires, and I know He would expect of me. I will only fail. And I'm not going to church like some people do and just play the role. I want to be real, at least be honest with God." But the devil is using your own honesty with God to keep you from coming to Him. John's Gospel chapter 1 says, "As many as received Him," "as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." God is not asking you to change yourself. God is asking you to change your mind about sin and salvation. God is asking you to come to Christ by faith, confess your sins. He will come in. I love that scripture in Revelation chapter 3 to a dead church, just absolutely enamored with this world, putting the focus on materialism, not spiritual things. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and him with me." That's intimacy. That's fellowship. The barrier that's separated between fallen man and a holy God has been bridged at the cross. And Christ said, "If you open the door of your heart, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power." Gave He the power. You know, there's a rhetorical question in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. The question was asked, "Can a leopard change its spots?" Well, the answer is in the question, absolutely not. But can God change us? Can God do it by His Spirit? When He comes to abide within us, this God, this potter who molds the clay according to His will and His purpose, if we become that soft, pliable, surrendered, willed person in His hands, God can work His work within us. And when that occurs, it says, it's God that worketh in you. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He wasn't talking about His ability. He's talking about God's presence and God's power within Him. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I can't change myself. God's asking you to change your mind about the road you're on and where you want to spend eternity. Amen. And to come to Him by faith just as you are. I've often said, and I will continue to say, God loves you and receives you just like you are and forgives you your sins, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. I've watched so many, all growing up as a child, and here I am 67 years old, but I remember as a child watching Billy Graham on television, and when I was moved as an 8-year old, dying of cancer before God healed me. I remember watching Billy Graham not teach on healing anything, but just feeling the presence of God when that choir would begin to sing at the end of the broadcast as people were coming to receive Jesus, as that great drawing power of the Holy Spirit was moving people to want to be saved. Amen. And they were singing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am because you love me enough to go to the cross for me, and you're calling me to come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. If any man open the door, Jesus said, I will come in and I will sup with him and him with me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we not only have the potter identified his ability and his desire for his will and purpose to be done in our life, but we have the material presented here, and that is clay. Isaiah 64 and verse 8 says, But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thine hands. Praise God. You're the Creator. But He didn't just create us. He wants to mold us. Amen. God is both our Father and our potter. He creates the clay and He crafts the clay. He both makes it and He molds it. But the clay must be available. God is willing to work a work today in you and me, but we must present our lives to Him in consecration to become the material the Master seeks to use. Amen. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, literally your true spiritual worship. And be no more conformed to this world. In the Greek, it has the connotation, don't let the world press you into its mold. You see, God has a plan. God has a purpose for you. The world will keep pushing you, literally pressing you, into its idea, this fallen world under the influence of Satan himself, who's called with little g, the god of this world. Amen. Be no more fashioned after this world, but after Jesus Christ. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We're only clay, that is true, but we are clay. And if we put ourselves in His hands, this is the glorious hope Praise God. We are not conformed to the world, but we are transformed. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the scripture in another place talks about this process of transformation when we surrender to Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we take the Word of God within our heart with the intent to apply it to our daily lives. Amen. It says, as we behold, as in a glass, or literally a mirror, it's reflected. The true image of Jesus is reflected through the Word of God. As we behold mirrored in the Word of God, His face, His true characteristics. Amen. The Bible said, as we behold His face, we are transformed into His image, even from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. If we get in that place where we are so surrendered to Jesus that the Holy Spirit can work a work within us, it won't be us that live anymore. It'll be the Christ that lives in us and Christ that lives through us. We have to recognize that we are clay vessels, and we can give ourselves to God, or we can give ourselves to the enemy of our soul. But if we choose to give ourselves to God, have our sins forgiven, submit ourselves to Him for His work to be done, He, by His Holy Spirit, is going to do a work in you and do a work in me. Well, our time is almost gone, and I just about lost track of it today. This has been a fast 30 minutes for me. But we're coming to that place in the broadcast today when we want to give you an opportunity to take the first step, and that is come to the potter. Come and bow. He knows there are flaws. Remember, there was something wrong in the clay that He couldn't fashion it. He couldn't work with it. He didn't throw it away. He just took out the flaw. And He then began His great work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend, there's no doubt we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is absolutely no doubt that God doesn't have anyone that He would throw away because of our failures. He will just forgive our sin, pardon our iniquity, and go to work within us His will and His purpose. And today I want to challenge you, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, to open your heart right here. And right now, in these closing moments of this broadcast, you can bow before Jesus Christ. You can come before the Father's throne and say, I've sinned against you. That's not any news to God. That's why He sent His Son, so that we could be saved. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. Forgive my sin. I receive the gift of your Son as my Savior. I receive Jesus Christ. I open the door of my heart. I lay bare my life. Come in, save me, and do a work in me, beginning from this day forward. And if you're a Christian today, and you're not fully surrendered, I beseech you as well, by the mercies of God, in light of all He's done for you and for me, that you come and make a full-blown commitment to Jesus so that God can work in your life and do something new and fresh and powerful. Hallelujah. Well, we love you today. Would you come back next week as we discuss the potter and the clay?